Next hour, the paranormal joins forensic science. Looking forward to that. We're going to come back in a moment with pharmacist Ben from criticalhealthnews.com. I've got another bet going with their webmaster. Last time we slowed up their server, he didn't think that could happen. If you've got a smartphone or a desktop, just go to criticalhealthnews.com, criticalhealthnews.com, and slow their servers down. That would be fun. And welcome back to Coast, that MZ's quite a character, isn't he, Ben?
He's quite a character. He's, you know, his station's quite a character, too.
Well, it's a great affiliate for us up there in Santa Cruz. And he understands radio.
Yeah, he's a radio savant.
Yep, he really is. He really is. Let's take calls for you this hour. It's going to go by quickly. We've got Michael in Boston, Massachusetts, east of the Rockies. Michael, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Thank you so much, George. Ben, in November of 2014, I was taking a shower. I applied a natural baby shampoo to my beard. I have a pretty heavy beard. I forgot to rinse it off, Ben, and then I went for my usual haircut and beard trim, and then the day after, my face was burning like fire.
Oh, jeez.
Okay, and since then, this is now 2018, since then, my face is still itchy, puffy, and if I take a Kleenex, Ben, and I press it into my beard, I can still get liquid.
Are you serious?
Out of my face.
That's a troubling sign. That's a sign of failure to heal. Usually, I mean, shampoos of any kind, even baby shampoos, can be very irritating, and it's understandable why you'd have a short-term reaction. But the fact that you're not healing is problematic. And that would mean something is going on, something more significant is
going on. I still have the beard, Ben, and it was a natural line of products. I'm not going to say the name, but it's associated with an insect that makes honey. I'm sure you know the line.
Yeah, that's good. I got you. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Okay.
And shampoos and cleansers contain a type of chemical that's called a surfactant. You may have heard of that term.
Right.
Surfactant. Surfactants are notoriously harsh on the skin. And they're really best avoided unless you have a very conscious formulation that uses a super mild surfactant, a super duper mild surfactant. But it's the trickiest ingredient that people interact with in the skincare world are these surfactants, which are basically detergents. And they can be quite irritating. And I can see why it would happen in the short term. But in the long term, your skin should recover. Skin heals pretty darn quickly if you're healthy. And the fact that it's not healing is something that I would consider to be problematic. I'd look for other health challenges. As I was saying last hour, there's a very important relationship between the skin and the digestive system. The digestive system is the skin inside out and vice versa. So always backtrack to the digestive system. Look for problem foods and eliminate those and the probiotics that we talked about earlier, the nightly essence, et cetera. And the ultimate enzymes. You might also want to consider specific skin and wound healing nutrients, and there's many of them. This is helpful for folks dealing with coming out of surgical procedures, especially plastic surgery or skin surgery, people who are dealing with burns, or people who have a condition like a failure to heal type of condition like you're describing. Zinc, vitamin C, selenium. You're going to use the Longevity products, use the Beyond Tangy Tangerine. The ultimate EFAs, essential fatty acids, and the skin are unbelievably connected. In fact, the way you assess an essential fatty acid deficiency is by skin sensitivities and conditions like you're describing. So it's very likely that you will benefit from the ultimate EFAs or ultimate EFA plus, which are essential fatty acid supplements. But I would consider it to be a much more significant condition than a skin condition, Michael.
All right, good luck there, Michael. Hope everything works out for you. We've got an incredible email from Joe in Oceanside, California, Ben. I had a cantaloupe-sized soft tissue surgically removed back in September of 2017. Mm. After 5 weeks of brutal radiation, I've cleaned up my diet, exercising 5 days a week, power walking 5 miles a day, 5 days a week, drinking green drinks, drinking alkaline water and baking soda, zero red meat or pork for 25 years. My six-month checkup was clean. Hair is growing faster and thicker since the tumor was removed. What can I do to prevent recurrence?
Oh, there's lots of things you could do. First of all, the fact that you had a tumor means, and it's all the things that this gentleman's doing are great, but it means that there was something off in the system, something off in the biochemistry, and you just go back to the same basic fundamental systems, the digestive system, the blood sugar system, and the relaxation or the stress/relaxation system. Work on digestive health, again, nightly essence and ultimate enzymes and apple cider vinegar and I-26. These are all digestive health supplements that you can get from Longevity. Stabilize the blood sugar. We haven't talked about blood sugar yet today or tonight, George. Blood sugar stabilization is next to the digestive system, the key point in all health and all small bodily breakdown, the blood sugar system. First the digestive system, then the blood sugar system. The way you do that is by eating more ingesting more fiber, drinking more water, using Youngevity Sweeties product. This is true for all diabetics or pre-diabetics or anybody who's dealing with a chronic health challenge. And, of course, reduce your intake of fast-burning carbohydrates. And then, lastly, address the stress management system of the body. Calm the body down. The cantaloupe-sized tumor, tumors in general, cancer in general, is a sign of a cellular system that is in distress. You know what a cancer cell is, George? It's a sociopathic cell. It's a cell that doesn't care about its neighbors. It's a cell that has gone rogue.
It's gone rogue.
And it divides without paying attention to what its surroundings are. It doesn't care about its neighbors. It doesn't care about its surroundings.
It just wants to replicate, doesn't it?
It just wants to replicate because you know why, George? It's at its wit's end. It has no idea how else to survive. It's a last resort, survival strategy. It's a primitive survival strategy, but it's a very effective one. It just stops caring. It just grows and divides and grows and divides. Problem is, when it grows so fast, is it's not functional. And when it grows so fast, it starts to grow and steal from its neighbors. You know, nobody dies specifically of cancer. They die of malnourishment that's caused by the cancer. It's not the cancer itself. The cancer itself isn't the problem. It's the stealing of the resources or the blockade or the interruption of the other cells' activities. That's how people get sick from cancer or die from cancer. So what you want to do is, again, if a cell is at its wit's end, calm the cell down. Make sure you give it enough nutrients. Make sure you give it enough oxygen. You know, George, cancer cells can't live in oxygen. Oxygenation of tissues, anybody ever tells you they don't know what causes cancer, they don't know what they're talking about. Cancer is caused by a cell that is not getting oxygen. And that was shown by a guy named Otto Warburg 100-plus years ago. So we know good and well what causes cancer. It's a cell that isn't getting the resources that it needs, specifically and especially oxygen.
And what about too much sugar?
And, of course, sugar is a major, major problem. Sugar needs to be regarded as a toxin. After a certain amount, and you need a very small amount, you know, at any given moment, you have maybe a teaspoon of sugar in the 5 liters of blood that are circulating through your body. You got maybe a teaspoon of sugar. You drink a Coke, you now put 12 teaspoons in your system. You have a glass of orange juice and a bowl of cereal and put sugar on top of it and some Pop-Tarts, you got 20 teaspoons of sugar in your bloodstream. And your bloodstream is only supposed to have one teaspoon. So keeping your sugar down is extremely important. Sugar revs things up. Cancer is a disease caused by a cell that's revved up, that's very excitable, it's dividing really rapidly. Sugar is a fuel. So what you're doing when you eat sugar is you're fueling the cancer. And cancer love sugar. Cancer feeds on sugar. It's a sugar-feeding cell. It's a fermenting cell. So yes, absolutely, cancer is a major problem. And if you do, God forbid, are diagnosed as such, going zero tolerance on fast-burning sugars is a must, an absolute must. And sometimes that alone will make a significant difference in your condition.
Let's go to Jim in Alabama, Wildcard Line. Jim, take it away.
Hey, Jim.
Hey, I'd like to ask you a question about swollen ankles and feet. I started using artificial sweeteners about 8 years ago, and I cut back on sugary treats and things like that. And I just wanted to get your opinion on artificial sweeteners and how they affect.
Yeah, they're not. Artificial sweeteners have to be processed. There's some sweeteners that you can use. If you're talking about artificial, like NutraSweet type artificial sweeteners, I think that's what you mean. They're poisons. They're literally poisons. You know, sugar, at least the body can use it. It has to eliminate it, but the body can use it. The artificial sweeteners, like the NutraSweets, those have to be eliminated through the detoxification system. So those are very, very problematic.
What's causing his swelling in his
circulatory feet? Problems? His blood's not circulating. His heart's not moving correctly. You know, the blood moves through the circulatory system in a pipe. The circulatory system is like pipes. It's like plumbing basically. And when it's not moving fast enough, fluid starts to leak out through the plumbing. And it starts to deposit in the lower parts of the body. Also, when you think about it, the circulatory system is going against gravity as it's making its return trip to the heart. If the heart's starting to become weak or the blood is becoming sticky and sludgy from toxins, mostly from food, also from sugar, it's not going to circulate correctly, and fluids will start to pool out, pool at the bottom of the feet. So you want to regard that as a circulatory issue. And one of the best things you could do, I know you're going to love this, George, is get on a rebounder. Jump up and down on a trampoline. Improve the
circulate. Yeah.
That's an amazing strategy. If you're coming down with a cold, that's one of the best ways to move your circulation. If you're older and your circulation is starting to become sluggish, jump up and down on a rebounder. Help move the lymphatic system, which is your waist system. The rebounder costs you $60. You know what else is good? Those inversion devices. You ever seen those where you hang up?
Oh, yeah, upside down.
Yeah, those are also great.
I'm afraid I'll never be able to get back up.
No, you'll be able to get back up. But turning yourself, hanging upside down is great for the lymphatic system, great way to improve blood flow to the brain. And by the way, when your circulatory system's not moving correctly, you're more at risk for dementia and brain problems because the brain requires all of the nutrients that are coming in through the blood. You know, as the blood is circulating through the body, it's generating something called a zeta potential. Have you heard this term?
The mm-hmm.
Zeta potential is like an electrical charge. So your body is actually becoming electrified as the blood is circulating, as the fluid is circulating. And by the way, the fluid, the blood moves in a spiral form. Do you know this? In a vortex as it's moving through the blood vessels. It's almost, the blood vessels have little grooves. And as the blood is circulating, the blood itself is circulating in a vortex. And there's something very interesting that happens with vortices, with vortexes and fluid and minerals. And between the movement of the blood and in this vortical fashion and the minerals that are in the blood, you generate this electrical charge that electrifies the body. And while nutrition is important and oxygen is important, at the end of the day, we're electrical beings. So if you have any pooling at the bottom of the feet or circulatory problems, you're becoming de-electrified. And moving the body, whether it's on a rebounder or whether it's exercise of any kind or whatever kind of bodily movement, even deep breathing will help improve the fluid dynamics. You can upregulate electrical energy, and it could be a powerful longevity strategy.
Ben Fuchs with us, criticalhealthnews.com. Shut that website down. Just go to it with your desktop or your smartphone. Let's go to you, Tom, for a text or tweet. What do you have?
Hey, Ben, tweet from Holly. Can you please address the pain and management of rheumatoid arthritis?
Oh, man, that's a terrible one. You ever seen somebody with rheumatoid, George?
My grandfather from my mother's side, when I was a little boy, he was bedridden.
Oh,
and his fingers were almost at a 90-degree angle.
Oh, my goodness. JRA. Oh, my God.
Horrible.
That's a terrible, terrible illness. And what do they give you for rheumatoid arthritis? The secret to dealing with rheumatoid is to understand what the doctor's medical strategy is for dealing with it. And that's, of course, giving you prednisone, which is an anti-inflammatory and immune suppressant. Whenever they give you an anti-inflammatory or an immune suppressant drug as part of your treatment protocol, what they're telling you is your problem is caused by an attack on the body. Something is attacking the body, activating the immune system. So in rheumatoid arthritis or any rheumatoid is autoimmune disease, and this is true about any autoimmune disease, you've got to look at the site of attack, and you've got to seal off the border. Your body is being attacked, and you've got to find where that is, and you've got to seal off the border. Well, where do you suppose the attack on the body comes from? Of course, it's logic will tell you it comes in through food. And this is why I'm always hitting on food in the digestive system, not because I'm a foodie, because I'm not a foodie. I'll eat whatever is put in front of me. But the point is that if you're sick and you have an immune problem or an inflammatory problem, understanding this point of attack on the bloodstream, which is activating the immune system, this is what an autoimmune disease is initiated at the level of the intestine. And that's where the outside world meets the inside world, where the enemy gets into the system, and working on the intestine is key. And for this gal and anybody dealing with an autoimmune disease, you can test this for yourself by laying off food for a couple of days, giving yourself a food holiday. You can call it a fast. I like to call it a food holiday. We take 2 days off from food, and almost 100% of the time, unless you have a severe amount of toxicity that's in the system that takes longer than a couple of days to get rid of, almost 100% of the time you're going to start to feel better. And then when you, after a couple of days or 3 days of fasting or do what I call the Swerovie cleanse, and that's S-U-E-R-O-V-I-E. Swerovie is a product that we have at criticalhealthnews.com that makes it easy for you to fast. After you spend your 2 or 3 days on your Swerve V cleanse, then start eating foods one at a time. Pick your favorite food and just eat that all day, or eat that for a few hours. And usually it's going to be something like gluten or dairy or eggs or peanuts or soy or legumes. These are all notorious triggers for autoimmune diseases. And then eat butter all day, or ice cream all day, or cheese all day, or eggs all day. You just eat a lot of it. I'm being a little facetious when I say all day, but just eat a lot of it and notice what happens. And you're going to see that for certain foods, your rheumatoid is going to flare up, and then those get put on a do not eat list. And then you start to support your gut health with the Nightly Essence probiotics and the Ultimate Enzymes. And by the way, cartilage products are great for all arthritis and joint problems, bone soup, chicken soup, glucogel caps. Anything that has a cartilage-like material, whether it's a supplement like the glucogel caps or bone broth, can be very helpful for joint problems. And so can aloe vera, by the way. We don't talk a lot about aloe vera, but that's an amazing supplement for the digestive system and for the joints.
All right, let's go to some more calls. Bill is in Tuolumne, California, first-time caller for Bill. Hi, Bill. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi, George. Pharmacist Ben.
Hey.
Long-time listener. I go back to when Art was driving a three-cylinder Geo.
That's a long ways back.
Anyway, I have a congenital neuromuscular disease called Charcot-Marie tooth.
Oh, yeah, I know what that is.
And I'll be 70 on 9/11 this year of all times. And I've always had a severe cavus foot. Never really been bothered by the disease, you know, growing up or anything like that. I worked in the maintenance custodial at 18 years in the school systems and whatnot, but the last 5 years is terrible. It's, I don't know whether it's the peroneal muscle, taking out the lower muscles, my feet, the skin is thinned out, my hands are getting numb, and I took a connectivity test with a neurologist, and I failed miserably. And I actually thought it was from the signals not being sent from the brain.
It's part of it.
Extremities, but he said it was from the bottom up.
Well, I'm not sure I agree with that. What happens when the brain doesn't stimulate the tissue starts to atrophy. You follow what I'm saying? The connection between the brain and the lower parts of the body, or any part of the body, is important for growth and recovery, and that's not happening. So the tissue is basically deteriorating. The muscle tissue is deteriorating, but it's secondary to the nerve problem. But the bottom line is you've got to build the body back up. You're 70 years old, but you can still be a bodybuilder. We all should be bodybuilders, not necessarily like the kind of bodybuilders, you know, like Arnold Schwarzenegger bodybuilders, but we got to be building our body. And that's how you want to look at this condition. You want to become a bodybuilder. And the best way to do that is to make sure that you're doing some kind of resistance training, something that where you're pushing yourself in combination with a good nutritional supplement program. Now, you're going to have to make sure you're doing your SDR breathing and relaxing the body as well and watching out for your blood sugar, but primarily what I would be doing if I were you is a combination of exercise, and I'm talking uncomfortable exercise because it'll be uncomfortable for you, and then getting on a supplement program and doing your supplements when you come home from the workout.
That's important to do that. Ben, we're going to come back in a moment and take final phone calls, criticalhealthnews.com, or the number to call for help and assistance, 1-855-949-RADIO, 1-855-949-7234. And welcome back to Coast. We are back with pharmacist Ben. Let's go to Joe in Boston, Massachusetts. Hello, Joe.
Hey, Joe.
Hi, George. Yep, good evening. Glad you're taking my call. I hope that you can get that going before I ask Ben that to help, because some of us don't have the money for these nutrients.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I have a friend that's dying in the hospital, Glenn. Have you heard? It's something called, he was born with -2 enzymes. It's called alpha-1. Have you heard of this?
Alpha-1 is kind of a generic term. I haven't heard, like a deficiency of...
No, his lungs cannot, is missing enzymes, lungs stop expanding, he's had seizures. And he's had asthma, and he's on life support.
No, that's an antitrypsin deficiency, an alpha-1 antitrypsin deficiency. That's a specific lung disease. It could also affect the liver. And how old is this guy now?
54. He's near death.
Oh, my goodness. So he must have had just a hard life. He had it since when he was a kid, or when he was born?
Yes, but he's had a very good family. He's visually impaired, like me. Yeah. But his lungs just are giving out, and finally he had to start getting infusions and taking
Yeah, no, yeah. that's a terrible condition, and basically his body is breaking down. Now, if he's in, as I was saying earlier in the program, the sicker you are, the faster you turn it around, and the more deficient you are, the faster your body absorbs nutrients. So if you can get him on Beyond Tangy Tangerine, if you can get him on a nutritional supplement program, and you can get him doing a chicken soup and protein and things like our Keto FX protein or Slender FX protein shakes, you can make a world's difference for the guy. Again, if he doesn't have a guy like him has probably been deficient for a long period of time, he's going to notice a huge difference when he gets on a supplement program. But he's going to have to do, you know, in order to turn the thing around, I don't know if he's going to turn it around, he's got to do a lot of things. But that's not to say that you can't make him stronger. You know, we get all obsessed with diagnosis and curing and diseases, and that doesn't really matter the way I look at it. You just want to make the body stronger so you have more energy, so you feel better. And you can do a lot of things in that case. If your goal is to make him feel better, there's a heck of a lot of things you can do. As far as getting rid of his diagnosis, quote-unquote curing conditions, that's not what you want to focus on. You want to focus on making him stronger, and that's a guy who can use the Healthy Start Pack more than anybody. That's a guy who can use chicken soup more than anybody. That's a guy who can use aloe vera more than anybody. That's a guy who can use anything that you can give him. So don't focus on the disease and curing the diagnosis, but making him stronger. There's a lot you can do for that.
Ben, this email in, and they want to know, his name is Jeff, what you can do for skin bacteria. He's tried erythromycin and all kinds of stuff.
But you know, your skin, you know, billions of wonderful bacteria live on your skin that are important for skin health. You know, we walk around in a cloud of bacteria. Everybody has their own personal bacterial cloud. Everybody has their own personal bacterial colonies on their skin, in their lungs, in their intestine, of course, on their eyeballs. And these personal bacteria make vitamins for us, and personal bacteria fight the bad guys, and they balance out fungus, and they keep the cells dividing rapidly. So bacteria are really our friends. There's about 5% of all of the bacteria on the planet, all the bacterial species on the planet, that are bad species. But the vast 90 to 95% of them are good. Now, if you have a bacterial infection, you got an imbalance. For some reason, the good bacteria aren't doing their job fighting the bad bacteria. So what you want to do is you want to support the good bacteria. And there's lots of ways to do that. First of all, you don't want to use antibacterial soap if you can avoid it, because that'll set up a condition called bacterial resistance.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Secondly, you want to support the good bacteria in your body through probiotics, nightly essence from Longevity, probiotic foods, fermented vegetables. One of the important ways that we don't talk about a lot of supporting the probiotics, the good bacteria, is with something called prebiotics. Have you heard this term? Prebiotics are foods that support the probiotics, and they're especially fiber. So making sure you're getting enough fiber is really important for supporting the good bacteria. What you want to stay away from, this gentleman should be staying away from, is topical antibiotics or internal antibiotics, because those will kill the good bacteria as much as they'll kill the bad.
He's having a bad luck with that.
I can see why. And then you get into this condition called resistance where they don't even work. You got to be really careful with topical as well as internal antibiotics.
Well, let's go out to Perry in Santa Barbara, California now. Hi, Perry. Thanks for holding.
Hey, Perry.
Oh, you're quite welcome. It's well worth it. And I want to thank you, gentlemen, for all you do.
Thank you, Perry. Appreciate that.
You're welcome. Really, really quickly, because I want other people to get on here. I had spinal stenosis surgery in my upper back and neck, and basically my spinal cord was being squeezed, and my right leg would always go out and be falling down. But then late last year, I had surgery. Now my hip is absolutely killing me. And my question is, basically, what can I do about the after effects of spinal stenosis?
Lots you can do. Spinal stenosis and the hip problems, these are just signs that the cells are starting to break down. When the cells start to break down and there's inflammation, very interesting things happen.
And isn't it a shriveling of the spine?
Basically, it's a shriveling of the spine. Yeah. So it's a closing up of the spine. But the reason the spine is shriveling is because the cells are breaking down. So again, all disease is cell disease. It always comes back to the cells. So don't overthink the spinal stenosis or the hip problem. Go back to the basics. Number one, make sure you're on a supplement program. Number two, make sure you're protecting the digestive system. And by that, you know, we've talked about that all night long, making sure you're staying away from the problem foods. Number three, make sure you're keeping your blood sugar stable. Number four, make sure you're relaxing your body. Now, I would also add a couple other things, and that's exercise is extremely important, stretching the connective tissue around that's holding the hip joints and the spine, the vertebrae together, making sure that you're doing connective tissue building substances as well. Protein, our glucogel caps can be very helpful. And don't forget about good old vitamin C, which the Beyond Tangy Tangerine is a wonderful source of vitamin C. Vitamin C is very, very important for all bone health and joint health issues. So basically, it's a deterioration of the condition in the spine, and while you had surgery to correct it mechanically, you didn't correct it biochemically, and that's why it's happening in the hips, and it's probably happening in other parts of the body also. And you know what, George and Perry, we all want to live a long life, right? But you don't want to have the body deteriorate on the way as we age. It's such a terrible, terrible thing when the body starts to break down and the joints break down and there's chronic pain in the ligaments and the tendons and you can't walk, you can't move. It really is so important to take proactive measures. And God bless the surgeons who helped you out. That was wonderful. But you got to correct it at the biochemical level, and that's where supplementation comes in. That's where exercise comes in and all the other things we just talked about, stabilizing your blood sugar, working on the digestive system, et cetera.
Final text and tweet for you, Ben, from Tom. What do you have, Tom?
Hey, Ben, tweet from Carlos. What can I do for bicep tendonitis?
Bicep tendonitis.
Yeah,
ouch.
Tendonitis is just itis of the tendon, inflammation of the tendon. It's pretty much a classic way the body breaks down is the joints and the tendons and the connective tissue deteriorate. You know, our body is 30% or so made up of the stuff called connective tissue. And the connective tissue, as it is obvious from the term connective tissue, it connects everything. It holds everything in place. But what the connective tissue also does that we don't always talk about is it's the connective tissue that feeds the cells. It's the connective tissue that delivers the oxygen to the cells. It's the connective tissue that electrifies the cells, and it's the connective tissue that detoxifies the cells. So once that connective tissue breaks down, you are off to the disease races. And tendonitis is a sign that the connective tissue is starting to break down, tendons being part of the connective tissue. So building connective tissue is critically important, not just for tendonitis issues, but also for any kind of aging issues. The classic sign of aging is all the shriveling that we've been talking about is all connective tissue-based. Heart disease, by the way, that's not a cholesterol problem. That's a silly to anybody who understands biochemistry. Heart disease is a connective tissue problem. The cholesterol is just there to fix the connective tissue. So working on the connective tissue becomes extremely important, and there's lots of ways to do that, especially glucogel caps, protein, essential fatty acids, ultimate EFAs, making sure you're working on the gut, the digestive system, making sure you're getting enough vitamin C in your Beyond Tangy Tangerine. Focus on building the connective tissue, and don't forget about chicken soup, good old chicken soup.
There's an email in from Nancy. She said epilepsy since age 2. She's now 61. She had brain surgery 16 years ago. Seizures have been controlled since that time. She's still on seizure meds.
They're the worst.
For a decade. She says, what do I do?
Oh, they're horrible. You know about the ketogenic diet for seizures? The ketogenic diet was invented as a seizure diet.
What is a ketogenic diet?
The ketogenic diet is a high-fat, low-carbohydrate, medium or light amount of protein and low calorie diet. It was invented in the 1920s as a way of mimicking fasting.
What kinds of foods give you that?
Sardines, fish, avocados, eggs, butter.
Those are the things to eat.
These are the things to eat, yes. Okay. These are all keto, keto-friendly foods. High fat, good fat diet.
Ketosis, right?
What's that? Yes, exactly. You go into ketosis. Okay. High fat in the presence of low calorie and low carbohydrate. Those three factors, low carb, low calorie, high fat, generate something called ketones. And these ketones are incredibly important for the brain and wonderfully anti-seizure. Keeping your blood sugar stable is also very important. Low blood sugar can trigger seizures, so making sure that your blood sugar is stable is also very important. And staying away from digestive toxins, including, by the way, excitotoxins, which are found in artificial sweetener, NutraSweet and artificial sweeteners are notorious for, and MSG are notorious for producing these excitotoxic responses. Staying away from those as well.
All right, let's go back to the calls. Lily's in Milwaukee, east of the Rockies. Hello, Lily.
Hi, George. Hey, hi, Pharmacist Ben. God bless you and all the Coast audience. Hi, Pharmacist Ben. I would like to ask you, I've been recently diagnosed with hypothyroid.
Okay.
A few months ago. I have not taken the levothyroxine because tonight is my lucky night that I got in to talk with you or Doc Wallach. I went from about 3.8 to about 6.2. I feel relatively good, other than maybe some more fatigue. They did prescribe the 25 mcg of the levothyroxine to be taken in the morning. I have not done it. My pharmacist, who I really appreciate, too, he said that it can really start chewing into the bones and to try to do a natural approach. I'm so lucky I got in. And I know levels vary, Ben, from clinic to clinic. I know 4.5 to 5.0, and I'm
the levels don't matter.
Oh, okay.
Thyroid testing is notoriously ineffective. You go by how you feel. That's the way you figure out your thyroid. And thyroid disease, hypothyroidism, is an epidemic. It's very common in older women. It's very common in women. It's much more common in women than in men. And it is, has a couple of underlying causes. The most direct underlying causes involve the stress system and the hormone estrogen, female hormone estrogen. So the most important cause, by the way, of hypothyroidism is an autoimmune disease. So something is getting into the immune system. Between estrogen, the stress system, and the immune system, that's where you handle hypothyroidism. Now, there's a very important relationship between estrogen and fats, between estrogen and the digestive system. So making sure that you're working on digestive health, making sure you're taking your ultimate EFAs, which can one of the best ways to support healthy estrogen, essential fatty acids. You can find the ultimate EFAs at criticalhealthnews.com. Calm the body down. Under conditions of hypercortisol or stress hormone, the thyroid will also slow down to compensate. So learning to reduce your cortisol levels is very, very important. And don't underestimate digestive health. Thyroid hormone is actually activated in the digestive system. And, oh, by the way, that levothyroxine they're giving you, it's the wrong form of thyroid hormone. Tell that to you may want to look that up. Synthroid and levothyroxine are inactive or weakly active thyroid hormone. It requires activation in order to turn into the real stuff, the good stuff, and that's a digestive system issue. It's actually a healthy intestine and probiotics, good bacteria, that are responsible for activating a thyroid hormone. So making sure you're calming the body down, focus on your digestive system. Think of it as an estrogen and a stress and a autoimmune condition.
Ben Fuchs with us, criticalhealthnews.com, and the phone number to call for assistance long after he's off the air with us, 1-855-949-RADIO. They are there all the time, by the way, 1-855-949-7234. I bet as a pharmacist, you shook your head many times when people brought prescriptions.
Many times. I got in some trouble, too, because I don't know if I ever told you the story, but when I was a young pharmacist, at the end of my pharmacy career, my retail pharmacy career, I was telling people not to take their drugs, and I got in some trouble.
You mean like at the counter you were telling them this?
I was telling them to take supplements, but that was the 80s, and people weren't ready to hear
that. So you'd hand them their prescription and say,
I was suggesting that maybe they want to try some vitamin C instead of the antibiotics.
And were they receptive?
You know, a lot of people were, and I actually started to get a reputation. This is how I got a reputation as a nutritional pharmacist, but the pharmacy I was working for wasn't happy with me.
Ben Fuchs is going to be in the Sacramento area on Sunday, June 10th. Actually, he'll be in Orangevale, California. Full information, you can register at criticalhealthnews.com. He's also available to go to your city at no cost. So you can get information there at criticalhealthnews.com as well. Ben, once again, thanks. We'll talk to you in another month, okay?
Okay, take care, bye.
That's Pharmacist Ben. And again, that phone number, I'm getting hundreds of emails. Here, write it down, 1-855-949-RADIO. That's all you have to remember, and you just spell out radio, and off you go. We're going to come back in just a moment and talk about forensic science and the paranormal. It's combined. Why? Ghostly stories and law enforcement next on Coast to Coast AM.